Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the segment, Delicious Talk Radio, bringing sexy back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Hope everybody's having a wonderful evening, because I certainly am. It's been really hot, but, you know, can't complain, because we did have a long, stressful winter, and every day is a good day that we wake up in. Okay, the holiday is approaching really fast, the 4th of July. I don't know what everybody's doing on the 4th, but the 4th is my family reunion, and we celebrate that every year for the last almost 40 years in Rock Creek Park. Each and every 4th of July, that's where we'll be, the Johnson's family reunion. And if you're having a reunion, a cookout, picnic, or whatever, enjoy yourself. Have a wonderful day. This evening, I'm going to, I see my guest, my co-host is here. I'm going to bring him on. Good evening, Jadino. How are you, darling?
Hey, how you doing?
I am fantastic. You ready for the holiday?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to work.
Oh.
I'm doing everything. I'm running marathon this week. I'm at work and at play. So.
Oh, okay. Nice well, that's nothing wrong. Yeah, because this 4th of July, as I had mentioned, I don't know if you had heard, but every 4th of July, we, the Johnson's family, celebrate the family reunion in Rock Creek Park. That's been going on for almost 40 years, so that's where I'll be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for almost 40 years.
I might be a Johnson,
years.
Too.
Huh?
I might be a Johnson, too, this weekend. I'm going everywhere. You ever had a professional guest show up with ice and aluminum foil and act like they know Cousin Ray Ray to get a plate?
No, but we're definitely going to have plenty of food and drink. It's, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, and everybody, you know, gets a T-shirt who actually you have to pay for your T-shirt, but, you know, we just give them these T-shirts every year as well. You know, it's just a beautiful event that, you know, all the Johnsons, I have a million of them on my father's side of the family. My mom, she was a Johnson as well. And here's the ironic thing about the two families. My father's side of the family, I have one aunt left. I think it was like maybe 12 or 13 of them, and I only have one aunt left. She's the baby. And on my mother's side of the family, I have one aunt left, and she's the baby. I have no uncles. All my uncles are dead, you know, so that's very, you know, that's wild. But I have a lot of cousins and, you know, different things like that. So that's what I'll be doing on the 4th of July. So are you ready for this evening, huh?
I was going to sound like a plane.
Oh, yeah. Are you ready for this evening's guest?
Oh, yeah.
Right. We have James Goy, Jr. He's an internationally published author of How to Attract Money Using Mind Power. His book is a serious work in which he quotes 160 other books. The United States edition is available worldwide through Ingram Book Company, and foreign editions have been published by publishers in India, English, Lebanon, Arabic, Italy, Italian, and Mexico, Spanish, and are available in many other countries. James has been a lifelong student and teacher of truth and has written and lectured on metaphysics and spirituality, often with an emphasis on manifesting abundance. James continues to write and has now written several more books, which he will publish soon through his new JGJ Press publishing imprint. That sounds very impressive, you know, to using your mind to attract money. Wow, I really want to know how to do that, because if that's the case, I'm going to get right on that after this show. Yes, I'm going to bring in Rhea, our other co-host. Good evening, Rhea. How are you, darling? Rhea? She must have her mute button on. Okay, without further ado, we're going to bring on James Goy.
I'm sorry.
You had your mute button on?
No, I put you on hold. I dropped the phone and I put it on hold.
Oh, okay. All right. So you did hear the intro of the guest, right? He's gonna we're gonna talk about him, how you're gonna track money with your mind.
Okay. Is it storming where you are?
Is it storm? No, I thought I heard some thunder at one point, but it's not storming here.
Okay, it's further. It's a little further up from you then. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right, so we're going to bring on James Goy, and, you know, if you guys have any questions, feel free to just speak up, you know, because I don't want to hoard the whole show.
Okay, you just be so thorough.
Huh?
You just be so thorough.
But I'm just saying, if you got something to say, say, well, I got this to say, and I will shut up, okay? Okay. Good evening, James. How are you, darling?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
Fantastic. Yes, we are.
Happy
all
to hear it. Sounds like it.
Yes, yes. We generally do pretty good over here on Delicious Talk Radio. Yes, we do. So let's learn a little bit about James. Where are you from, James?
Well, I was born and raised in New Jersey, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to California as a young man at 19 years old. So I've been here. I'm in my 50s now, so I've been here a lot longer than I was there. But mm-hmm. that's definitely where my roots are.
Okay, so what made you go to California?
It was a dream that I had developed as a young child. You know, a lot of my favorite TV shows, Mannix, Barnaby Jones, I think Cannon, you know, Frank Cannon. I think The Mod Squad. I mean, all these shows I grew up with, they were like in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you'd see the beaches and, you know, back in New Jersey, it's I lived, you know, a couple hours from the ocean, so I didn't see the ocean all that often. And you had cold winters and you know, sweltering summers and just, you know, the magic of California just really captured my imagination, and I dreamed about it. You know, I just fantasized about it as I was growing up, about, you know, basically is just going. I felt like California would be a whole new life, you know, freedom, and really it was. Really it was.
Oh, okay. So do you have any siblings?
I have one sister. And she's a nurse, like a head nurse for disabled children type hospital back in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
she's
okay.
A couple years younger than me, and she's doing real well.
Oh, okay. So, are you? Do you have any children?
I don't have any children. I've never been married.
Oh.
No, that's one boat I missed. So. Now I'm trying to figure out, well, who is going to help me when I'm older? Who am I going to call and say, help, I've fallen and I can't get up?
Wow.
But you know what? I'll work it out.
Yeah,
I will work it out.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting to know how you transplanted from New Jersey to California. And so that's where you're going to remain, I assume.
Yes. Now, I've been here for what's been over 30 years, I guess, but 5 years total I have lived away from California. In other words, I moved away, always with the intention of staying where I was going to. So I lived in Montana. I lived in Burbank during my acting phase. I lived in Sedona, Arizona, Orlando, Florida, Kauai, Hawaii, Ontario, Oregon a couple times. So, but all of that only added up to a total of 5 years.
Okay.
And every time I came back to California, I just really felt a spiritual connection and like I was back home. I mean, in a sense, you know, 19 years old, you're not that old. So in a sense, I grew up here too. You know, I came into my adulthood and you know, was on my own and just finding out about life, and I found metaphysics and mind power and all of that quite early on. So this this is really a special place to me, and it's hard to imagine, you know, at this point in my life. It's hard. I used to fantasize about living here, living there, but I don't really do that anymore. I feel a little unsettled here sometimes. It is earthquake country. We do have these darn fires every year, and
yeah.
You know, there's different things like that. But I don't know where else I would go.
Wow.
You know, so California, I mean, you know, you got the weather, you got the beaches, you got just, it's comfortable, it's familiar to me, you know, and I just really love it here.
Okay, I heard you briefly mention your acting. You know, what type of acting did you do, and were you in any movies or anything?
Well, my acting career, you know, you could fit it on the head of a pin, I guess. But I studied on and off down here in the San Diego area. On and off for years. I had coaches. I went to classes and workshops and all this stuff. And I had this, you know, thing about, yeah, it'd be great to go to Hollywood, be an actor. And finally, I was actually in my 30s already. And I thought, you know, I gotta kill or cure this acting thing, because I don't want to look back, you know, 60 years from now and say, you know, what if I would have given that a try? I wonder how that. I didn't want to have to do that. So I finally packed up, me and my girlfriend, and we moved to Burbank. And up there, I did more classes. I did more, you know, had some coaches, personal coaches. And I started doing student films, got some leads in some student films, you know, students from the universities that were, you know, doing school projects and things, and they would cast you in them. And the only thing I ever get paid for wasn't exactly acting, but I was an extra in General Hospital.
Oh, okay.
And I was, you know, you're there like all day in this room with all these people, and then, you know, when they finally have everything set up for your scene, you go in and you do your thing, and it doesn't take all that long. And you mm-hmm. could actually hear my voice, though. Mm-hmm. We were all saying, Paloma, Paloma, and you could actually hear my voice above the din, and that was kind of cool. And General Hospital was one of my aunt's favorite show. So I think mm-hmm. I was a big star back there for a while. But that was it. And I eventually realized that I love acting. I mean, you know, the acting itself. Mm-hmm. But the lifestyle, I didn't like. I didn't like auditions. I didn't like L.A. traffic. I didn't like, you know, the air is worse than down here. Just everything about it, it was all shark infested, just all scams and, you know. And I just didn't like, I was there for 6 months. I put heart and soul into it, and I just worked it every day and was sending out my headshot and everything else. And I finally realized, you know what? Not for me.
Wow.
And now I never have to look back again. I'm glad I had the experience. You know, I still got mm-hmm. a couple of my student films that I can watch, you know, when I get old if I want to. I take them out every 5 years or so and watch a couple of them. And,
wow.
And that's it. And it was the same thing with Hawaii, you know. Me and my girlfriend had always had this dream of living on a tropical island, you know, eating fruit and laying in the sun and all this. And so we finally did it. We finally moved to Hawaii. And we went to Oahu first and then found out that that was not for us, kind of like L.A. in the middle of the ocean, like they call it. And we went over to Oahu, and we were there for 5 months. And definitely got that out of my system. I never want to go back, even for a vacation. Matter of fact, I don't ever want to go to another island again. You know,
wow.
it really, yeah, it cured me of that island thing. I have beaches right here on the mainland, you know.
Right.
California beaches are beautiful. I don't need to go to an island. But I'm glad I did it because I believe I'd still be wondering and fantasizing about something. And here's the thing, and I tell people about money, too. They think, oh, if I only had $1 million or this and that, and they fantasize about it. And you know what? It's never what you think it's going to be. It's better in some ways, but it's also a lot less in a lot of ways.
Right.
For instance, $1 million isn't even a lot of money anymore. People think it's a lot of money.
That's true. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your publishing and, you know, how to attract money using the mind, and also we're also going to get into metaphysics and your spirituality, okay? We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
evening. Welcome back to Bringing Sexy Back, your host, Gail Delicious Johnson here. And this evening's guest is James Goyer, who is internationally published, who wrote the book, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power. And we're going to get right into that. But if anybody's out there listening and have questions or comments for James, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. And our guest this evening is James Goy. Okay, James, when did you get the writing bug?
I actually had signs of it very early on as a young child. You know, I used to sit down and write poetry and things like that. I even, as a, I guess a young teenager, sat down and tried to write a novel one day or one time. And but I wasn't particularly good in English or cared about it, or, you know, no one really took an interest or noticed anything about me to encourage my writing or anything. But it was something that was inside that would try to come out. And the main way it came out in my early years was I would just sit down spontaneously and just write poems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your first was How to Attract Money Using Your Mind Power. Was that your first book?
Well, I had worked on other books. Many years ago, I wrote, you know, a good decade or so, maybe before I published that book, I wrote some booklets, some small works, you know, one that I used in a metaphysical class that I taught, things of that nature. But it was my first officially, you know, published book that was available widely and all of that.
Okay, now what was the how did you come to the conclusion of how to attract money using mind power? Does that have something to do with the metaphysics or the spirituality, or, you know, how did you come about to write this, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power?
Right. It's really all of it. It's mind power, metaphysics, spirituality. And like I said, when I first came to California, early on I started finding those types of books, and I was really gripped by the subject. And I would read very widely. You know, I was reading everything that was otherworldly, whether it's about ghosts or, you know, UFOs or whatever, past lives. But the mind power, the metaphysics, the whole concept of making things happen with your mind was what really gripped me. And after just a few years, I started actually teaching this stuff. You know, I really had done a lot of reading, a lot of applying, had grasped the principles and wanted to share them. And I found in these classes I would teach that a lot of times people were, they would have problems applying this to attracting money, even if they knew about metaphysics and had been using it for a while and had been using it successfully for other things in their lives, you know, a perfect relationship or a job they loved or whatever, dream home. But they would say things like, but does it work for money, or why doesn't it work for money, or why doesn't it work for money for me? And the other thing is, so I wanted to address that, but the other thing is that one of the first possibilities I saw for these teachings and for these techniques in my young life out here was for attracting money, because money was always my challenge. And so when I saw that I could apply this to that, that was one of my highest interests in doing so. And so, I started other books. I even have a mostly finished novel that came before this book. But finally, I settled in on this book. It was about 1999. And it's another 9 years or so before I actually published it. I moved around between states in that time. It was definitely on and off. I read hundreds of books, collected hundreds of quotes, and, of course, whittled it down to the 160 I used in the book. There was a lot of research and whatnot. And for all that time and for all that research and for all those quotes, it's actually a very small book. It's about 100 pages, and you can actually read it in a sitting or two.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does one attract money using mind power? Is there some type of meditation going on, or some type of hypnotist, or, you know, how does that work? Because I'm quite sure the listeners would really want to know how to attract money just using their mind. You know, that's a pretty good thing, you know, because I myself would even like to know.
Right. Well, I'll tell people, and a lot of people might breathe a sigh of relief over this, is that there's no hypnosis, there's no self-hypnosis, really, other than just, you know, the repeated suggestion to the subconscious mind has an hypnosis-like effect, some would say. There's no meditation as such. But what I'd like people to understand as a foundation is that everyone is using mind power all the time already. They just don't know it. And so they're getting a mixed bag, some things they like, some things they don't like. Because when you don't know what you're doing, you know, you're just going to kind of fumble and trip through life. And like I say, you'll get some things you like, some things you don't. It's when you understand the process. It's when you understand that your thoughts, your feelings, the images that you hold in your mind, the words that you speak, these are the types of things the mystics have been telling us all along. They have power. They are creative in their own right, and they actually, you know, people think and feel and image and speak their finances, their financial lives, and their lives in general, but we're talking about finances mostly tonight. They speak them, think them, you know, feel them, and image them into existence. So once you understand how the process works and why it works, then you can start to modify how you think, how you feel, how you image, and how you speak, the words that you use, and you change, you know, you thereby change your beliefs and your expectations, and it's, you know, everything that's in my book, and you start getting different results. And it doesn't just work sometimes, it works all the time, but it works in divine order, so we can't say, oh, I'm going to have $1 million tomorrow. It could happen. You could buy a lottery ticket tonight, and it could happen. But
right.
There's a definite process, but it really does work, and it's the types of things that mystics and the religions even, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, you know, don't be over there, be over there, and it'll move. Because mind is the master power. Human beings have free will. We have imaginations, we have self-concept, in other words, we can think about ourselves and we can contemplate. We're not animals in the forest who are on automatic, you know.
Right.
We have more than just instinct. We have intelligence. And things do work in a certain way, and everyone, individually and collectively, like I say, is already doing this. And that's why it's not that hard to make the transition to understanding, oh, wow, I can see this. I mean, look at, anybody can do a survey and just look at the people around them and listen to how they talk and look at how they behave and what that tells you about their beliefs, their expectations, and their self-image. And when you start to see that everything they're saying is actually true, but when you do it from a metaphysical standpoint or with the mind power, you know, understanding, you realize that, see, they think they're saying this is how things are because that's how they are. Mm-hmm. What they don't understand is that to a large degree, things are that way because they're saying they are.
Okay,
they have the
so
process backwards. They don't understand their own power.
So it's basically you have to recondition your thoughts and your mind. Is that how it works? Because you know, you may be thinking something, but it comes out differently from what you're thinking, and that can sort of like switch it up or change it up. And, you know, you really have to be more toned on what you're thinking for it to come about. Is
right.
that how it
right.
works?
Definitely. You want to recondition your mind to think more in line with, in a positive vein, in a an abundance vein, instead of a negative vein or a lack vein. Expectation, positive, you know, expectancy over fear. And a lot of it has to do with belief. And I quote, the second chapter in the book is on belief, and I love this quote by Claude M. Bristol from The Magic of Believing, 1948. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, "Belief changes the tempo of the mind or thought frequency. Like a huge magnet, it draws the subconscious forces into play, changing your whole aura and affecting everything about you, including people and objects at great distances." And therein, and I love that quote, but therein lies one of the keys. See, any psychologist or psychiatrist can tell you that if you, you know, change your self-image or if you change your self-concept or just your subconscious beliefs about yourself, that you will start to behave differently. You'll start to behave in line with these new self-images or whatever, these new self-concepts. They've even shown that people can actually improve, you know, their performance in different kinds of sports or whatever, even their aptitudes, just by believing that their aptitude or that their natural ability is higher than it actually is. They will actually live up to that belief. So all psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you that. But what they don't usually generally understand is that when we change our beliefs, expectancies, self-image, and these types of things, that, as Claude Bristol says in The Magic of Believing, it affects changing your whole aura and affecting everything about you, including people and objects at great distances. So that's part of the great power, is that when we think and when we start to use this new mindset and these techniques, yes, it does definitely changes us. It makes us more capable. It changes our habits and our performance. But it also sets to motion events and actions and circumstances beyond us, having to do with other people, whether it's a mile away or around the world. It doesn't matter. That's where the real power comes in. That's why we can start having things such as synchronicity and things just lining up, because we imprint what we want on our subconscious minds and therefore on the universe as a whole, because this really is one mind we're dealing with. And
right.
That's how we can have an effect far beyond the borders of the walls of our own home.
Right. So if a person is thinking, you know, one thing, but something comes out, I'll just use this little scenario. Okay, I'm thinking, you know, I want to go on this fabulous vacation. I really want to go on this vacation. But something deeper in me is saying that you're not going to go on that vacation. So how do I get that out of my system, you know, get it to the point where they're synchronized with each other, my inner thoughts as well as what I'm thinking in my mind? You know, is it a long process, or how does that work? Because I believe in things, but for some reason, then I'll just, you know, I'll be saying one thing in my mind, well, I believe this is going to happen, I believe it, I believe it. But then something deeper within me is saying it's not going to happen. So I need to get those the deep within me synchronized with my thoughts so I can really, you know, these things that I'm believing in can, you know, come about.
Right, and it might help you to, just a foundational work to increase your belief in the process. Because if you really got how awesome and magnificent and fail-proof this process is, you wouldn't have any doubts, you see. So whether that's through watching some YouTube videos, reading some books, talking to people who have used these types of things, to start to think more in line with, hey, this stuff really does work. You know, and this is a small thing, a vacation, even if it's around the world. I mean, people use these principles to attract, you know, just untold finances and circumstances into their life. But you want a basic understanding of mind power and metaphysics. You want to know the core techniques such as affirmation and visualization and positive speaking and always focusing on and dwelling on and thinking about what you want to create, not what you don't want to create. So in this case, you would think more about what that vacation would be like and less about, well, I'm probably not going to be able to go. And the other thing people are always doing is they're tossing up all of these roadblocks that don't have to exist, like, well, this vacation is going to cost X amount of money, and where am I going to get this? And now they change their focus. It's not on the vacation anymore. Now it's on they need $6,000 or, you know, whatever the case may be. And now they're not even thinking about the vacation anymore. They're just overwhelmed by the fact that how are they going to attract the money. So, but definitely increasing your understanding of the process and then just getting into it. Because once you start using it, you become more positive almost on a daily basis. And you start to turn the tide in your thinking. Because when a person really, really gets this and they understand that they have all the power, it's inherent within them. They were born with it. It's their thoughts, their feelings, the images they have in their mind, and the words they speak out of their mouth. And with those four things, to a large degree, way more than half the time, they can control it. They can learn to control those processes. Therefore, they can learn to govern circumstances and to make things happen.
Okay. Yeah, because I know a family member, I don't want to say who it was, but a family member, she has little, these 4x8 little postings, you know, all over her house saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. And she is so lucky. I'm just going to get on this thing about the lottery. She's by a scratch-off. And a couple of months ago, she bought a scratch-off, and it was $60,000. And before that, she had bought another scratch-off, $10,000, you know. And I'm just saying, and it really, you know, and I thought about it. I said, wow, she believes that. So I guess that's why it comes to be. Or is that
right.
Pure luck?
Right. No, it's not luck. I actually don't believe in luck. I believe in cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at a person like that, she's positive. She believes that her mind can create things. She has these little prompts all around with the 4x8 cards or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which is a great technique. And here she is now having results, $10,000 here, $60,000 there, and who knows about things you don't even hear of, a $500 refund she never knew she had coming.
She's been getting mm-hmm. a lot. She got one ticket and she paid cash for her a minivan that she bought, and she got it. I mean, she just gets lottery tickets and scratch offs.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me the last one she got, she said, "Well, I'm going to get the $1 million scratch off, you know, and it's going to be shortly like that." So I'm just believing for her because she's been doing this for a while. And she just, you know, she gets these scratch-offs, and she just wins.
Right.
So.
And you can use the same process. You can do the same exact thing she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to give an example about what I said before, like with vacations as an example. People think that, you know, they start changing their focus to, well, it's going to cost this much money, and now where am I going to get this money? And I remember when I had to fly back to a funeral a couple decades or more ago, and my girlfriend at the time, she's always talking to her angels, and they said, and she was trying to decide if she should come with me or not. I mean, New Jersey's just really not her kind of place,
mm-hmm.
and funerals are not her kind of environment. So anyway, her angel said, listen, if you go with Jim to the funeral, then you will get to go to see your sister in, I believe it was Texas they were living in at the time.
mm-hmm.
And she thought, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll go. So, and that, you know, back in those days, we had zero, I mean, it was a big event when we used to ride to the ATM, literally to get $20 out of the ATM, you know, because that
mm-hmm.
was a lot of money to us. And, but anyway, on the way to the funeral, they had actually overbooked the plane. And so they came out and they said, if anybody wants to give up their seats, because, you know, they do overbook, but I guess if everybody shows, then they don't have the seats or however that works. But it had never happened to me before, to us. And
mm-hmm.
it was like, she's like, oh, there's my tickets. Because they give you tickets to anywhere you want to go in the United States. Anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Free tickets if you'll give up your seat and wait till the next flight. But this was my grandmother's funeral, and I didn't want to take any chances on missing it. And I said, wow. There it is. There's your trip, but I just can't take the chance. I got people meeting me at the airport. I can't throw a wrench in this works, and so we couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the funeral. We took the scheduled flight. Well, guess what? On the way back, the same exact thing happened. It was only the second time it had happened to me in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
They overbooked the flight, and they said, if you give up your seats, wait till the next flight. It's probably a couple few hours, you know, after. Free
mm-hmm.
tickets to anywhere you want to go in the United States. We jumped on it. There was our tickets
wow.
to go see her family now. We went
mm-hmm.
and saw my family and go see her family. And we couldn't do it the first time, but then the same exact offer came. So it wasn't about money. It wasn't about anything other than opening your mind and knowing that, you know, the goal is Texas. It's not the money to get there. And things happen in amazing ways, and a lot of times they don't even need money as a medium. You get the thing without the money. But it's
right,
having the proper mindset. It's, you know, it's being in a mindset where miracles are expected, and then miracles routinely happen, or synchronicities, or, you know, whatever you want to call them.
Right. Okay, Rhea or Jadino, do you guys have any questions for James?
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, I was saying, I believe a lot of stuff he's saying because on a daily basis I get told what I can't do by physicians, by psychiatrists, everything you think of. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to keep moving forward to whatever way I got to do it. And sometimes I just think if your mind power is strong. Like I'm supposed to have knee surgery, but I'm not having knee surgery, and I still do pretty much what I want. Now, physically, the law of the physics is finally going to catch up with me, but at this point in time, I'm working it out. So that's what I don't know if what he's teaching has anything to do with what I just said.
You know, this can be applied to, this definitely works with health and, you know, the physical body. I mean, there's stories out there that'll just rock your socks, you know, like in the book called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot, which I haven't read for many years. I still have it on my shelf. But I did read it, and I remember one story in there, and I believe they even have x-rays. But there was a person who had their bones were dissolving, and I guess their hip bone was dissolved. And then you see later x-rays where it was actually, it rebuilt itself. And things like that aren't supposed to happen. But you hear about miracles all the time where people, I mean, their cancer just turns around, or, you know, there's a holiday, I think it's in Japan, I want to say, I heard about it years ago, where they honor the old people, you know, every year on a certain day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right before that holiday, the death rate goes way down. In
wow.
other words, all these old people don't want to die because they want, and then right after the holiday, it goes, so it just shows you that our minds even give us power over death itself. And if we can forestall death for a day or a week, why not a year or 10?
Right.
You see? It's really all mind power. I mean, if you get a fundamental, cursory, you know, understanding of quantum physics, I mean, this is what the quantum physicists are learning in their experiments, you know, that they cannot observe an experiment, as an example, without materially affecting it in some way based on their expectations and based on how the experiment is set up. In other words, the act of observation is actually a creative act. How we view things helps to make those things what they end up being. And so if we think positively about our own health, like you're talking about, then you will start to have positive results. I come from an Italian family, and my great-grandmother, you know, years and years before she died, I mean, she was close to like 100, I guess, when she died, something like that. And what finally took her down was a couple of, she used to walk uphill, I forget how far it was, to church every Sunday, way in advanced age. But she fell, eventually broke one hip, and then she kind of came back. She fell again, broke the other hip, and she finally died. But many years before, she had been told that she'd have to have an operation, or that she would, you know, basically die or whatever. She was an old Italian woman, barely spoke any English, and she said, no cara me, no cara me, and that was the end of it. And she lived on and on and on after that, because she just did not accept that somebody was going to cut into her, and did not accept that she was going to die if they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow. Yeah, you know, the mind is really powerful when you use it correctly. You know, and, you know, as you had mentioned, it can be used for anything as far as that's concerned, health and everything, because I'm a big girl. I'm a plus-size girl, and I went to the doctors, and he told me I was borderline diabetic. And a friend of mine said, no, he said, you're either diabetic or you're not. You can't be a little pregnant. You got to be pregnant or not. So, but my doctor said, do you want me to give you some medication? I told him no, because If I'm borderline, that does not mean that I'm diabetic. So I'm not going to take medicine for something that I don't even have yet. And I think I'm feeling that if I had taken that medicine, it would have caused other complications in my body because, you know, chemicals are not made for the human body. So I'm still overweight, but that can be remedied by me exercising and eating properly opposed to me getting on some type of medication. I'm not on any types of medications in spite of me being overweight, and that's because I say to myself, I don't want to be on medications. I'm not going to be on medications. Before I get on medications, I am, you know, working to get this weight off of me, but I know what those medications will do to me. Now, other people who are on medications, I can't speak of, you know, how it affects them, but I know how it would affect me because I'm not used to, you know, putting chemicals in my body. So, therefore, mm-hmm. I just say to myself, I'm not going to be on no medications.
Well,
and
I am going to.
Mm-hmm. And I am going to get rid of the weight.
Right. I think there's a couple of things that any rational, honest person can agree on. Number one, so-called medications are poisonous substances, and number two, they all may you know get some kind of an effect
right.
that the doctor's looking for, but they all have side effects, negative side effects, and in many cases, I just have to say they hurt more than they help. I'm not a big fan of medicine. I'm not a big fan of doctors, surgery, any of it. So much of it is useless, ridiculous, harmful. I mean, for anyone who does their research, you do a whole lot better just getting your mind straight instead of running to the doctor every time something's a little off. So I really like your philosophy with that.
Yeah, because I'm just not, you know, because at one point I was seeing a psychiatrist after my mom had died. And, you know, going through depression and all this and that. So they put me on, I can't think of the medication, but I'd rather stay depressed because that medication made me feel like, it just made me feel helpless and it made me,
mm-hmm.
it just altered my whole thinking pattern and everything. So I think I took it twice. And after that, I said, I can't do this. I can't do it because I really, even though I don't like being depressed, but that's a normal feeling, and I can deal with that opposed to putting something in me and causing, altering my state of mind, a whole different aura, you know, going out of my mind, you know, and that's supposed to be helping me,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and
right.
and this medicine has so many side effects, they say, well, and it kills me how they put the commercials on television. They have this medicine now that helps you lose weight, but it can also, give you headaches, dry mouth.
Internal bleeding.
Yeah, and can
in rare cases, even
diarrhea.
Yeah.
Then
they're saying it so calmly and so casually, like, but you know, you can take it. Not me.
They have somebody running
know this?
Through. Yeah, they have somebody running through a green field in slow motion as they're telling you all these side effects. And it's just, and the other thing is that, you know, medicine as it's practiced does not address causes ever. They're only
right.
looking at symptoms, and they're trying to stop symptoms. Well, what about causes? Because everything
right.
is caused.
Right.
A lot of
right.
it goes back to our environment, goes back to our diets, goes back to a lot of things.
Right.
And a lot of the things we have control over. So,
right.
You know, everything I teach for attracting money can be used for getting your health more in line, for, you know, excelling in any profession or sport, you know, just for anything. And our physical health is as much in our control as our finances or as any of it. And it all, again, it comes back to learning some key, you know, positive techniques that we can use, understanding a little bit about the mechanism of the subconscious mind and the universal subconscious mind. See, we really are in one field of energy. You know, and that's why when we think it actually goes out, I mean, and just think about it. You have experiences where you walk into a place and there's one person there and you notice them right away and you have an uneasy feeling. Like,
right.
Oh, boy, something wrong with that dude. I don't want anything to do with him. Or you walk into a building and it's like, geez, this place is dark. You know, would somebody get killed in here or what? You feel it. And then you go to other places and you just feel, wow, you know, I feel like I like to spend some time here. Or you meet somebody for the first time. You feel like you've known them forever and you wanna talk to them. Because everything's energy. Everybody's had premonitions about, you know, and forebodings of things that they fear might happen, and they do. I routinely have dreams about things that show me people's true thoughts and feelings towards me. I have warnings of, you know, upcoming accidents and things of this nature that I'm then able to prepare for. So if we really look at life, we can see that the concept that everything is energy and everything is consciousness is really not that far-fetched, because we have the signs of, I mean, intuition, inspiration, these types of processes are proof of it. Are proof that we are basically energy beings. And the mystics and the quantum physicists basically say the same thing, which is that, you know, the physical life is actually an illusion to a very high degree. It's not what we think it is. No two people actually perceive it the same. Seeing does not take place in the eyes. It takes place in the visual cortex. And there's one story I love. I forget where it comes from or who to attribute it to, but it's pretty widely known. And that is of, you know, the ships that visited this island, you know, way back in the day, let's say. And they had their ships, you know, off the shore, sitting there. And so they were interacting with the Aborigines, or whatever you want to call them, the tribes people from the island. Mm-hmm. And they came to understand that nobody on the island could see the ships. They could all see the ships.
Wow.
They were sitting right there, but no one could see the ships. And so I guess probably the captain of the ships, you know, the leader there, he started talking to the leader of the tribe and telling him about the ships and whatnot. Finally, the leader or the holy man, whoever he was able to see the ships, and then everybody else was able to see the ships. They'd been there all along, but they couldn't see them. Why? Because they had never seen ships before. They had nothing to relate it to. They couldn't process it. And this just is proof. It shows us that seeing is not actually what we think it is. It's not you just see what's there. You have certain expectations and a certain past associations that help you to see. Seeing is so much more mental than it is physical. Indeed, I would say it's all mental. And that was just one indication of it. But on another level, when I say see, we could say, well, what do we see in our bank accounts? What do we see our finances as being? What kind of, you know, life do we experience or see in front of us each day? Well, it's to a large degree based on what we expect, what we've seen before, and how we process the information in the moment. You see, Godzilla could be right outside my house right now in the middle of the street, and I might not see him because it's the furthest thing from my mind that a creature like Godzilla is going to be standing out in front of the house, even if he was there.
Wow.
So it's all, you know, and that's what I tell people, too, that you should get excited because, you know, it seems like such a daunting task to create this huge amount of money, let's say, in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to create a huge amount of money in your bank account down the street at your corner bank. What you need to do is to create a large amount of money in the bank account in your mind, in the concept of your bank account, in the picture in your mind of your bank account. And anyone can do that. Anyone can do that. And then everything else just magically falls into place. And I can give an example, one of my favorite examples of these techniques, and one is affirmation. And many years ago, as a household, we were $10,000 in credit card debt and going in deeper each month. I had a very low-paying job taking care of a developmentally disabled man, a senior man in his home. And we were going in deeper each month to make up the difference of what I wasn't making to survive and also to pay the cards. And I had already known these principles and things and even used them quite successfully before. But it's not what you know, it's what you do. And at the moment, I wasn't doing it. And so I said, you know, this is unacceptable. And I finally said, if any of these techniques work, which I know they do, then any one of them will work. And I really wanted to focus my mind. So I focused on the technique of affirmation. And I came up with this affirmation, which anyone in credit card debt right now, grab a pencil and write this down, because it can save your life. It can save your credit. It can keep you off the street. And here was the affirmation I finally came up with after, you know, playing around with it for a while. Mm-hmm. All of my credit cards are completely paid off. And it follows all the rules of a great affirmation, because it's in the, you know, stated positively in the present tense, as if the thing has already come about, with no indication of how, because you don't want to limit the universe. That's very important. And so I started doing this in the morning when I first woke up, in the evening when I first went to sleep. I did it verbally. I did a lot of them in my head, even wrote it down sometimes. And I started doing this affirmation. And, you know, very shortly, I really believed. I mean, I actually created this in my mind that all of my credit cards are completely paid off, even though I had no idea how this could ever come about. Well, about 4 to 6 weeks into this process of doing this affirmation, someone came into my life who I didn't really know that well. I had only met this person once or twice before, hadn't seen him for probably a couple of years. They lived 150 miles away. And so 4 to 6 weeks after I started my affirmation, this person came into my life, and we were talking about finances and things, and I mentioned this debt. And this person had just come into a huge amount of money, more than they'd ever had, just within the day or two. Mm-hmm. And the person pulled their checkbook out of the purse and wrote me a check on the spot for $10,000 as a gift, not a loan.
Wow.
And then I deposited it, and then as the bills came in, each one, no matter, regardless of what the limit was, because I had several, you know, we had several cards going, we paid it off completely. Now, that's something that I never could have imagined, that somebody would just give me the money. But the very interesting thing was that this person basically, you know, you could say escaped, which it really wasn't escape, their old life with barely their lives. But they came into all this money that they didn't have access to before or control over. But their life started changing in very profound ways right about the time I started doing my affirmation. Mm-hmm. This person had been entrenched in a very bad negative situation for decades. And right about the time I started doing my affirmation, their life started changing. And here's a very important thing about when you work mind power this way, is that everybody that's affected in any way, shape, or form will be affected positively. Things always happen for the highest, best good of all concerned. So not only did this person's life completely change for the 100% better, making them more free, more safe, and more prosperous, but I got to have my affirmation realized within a 4 to 6 week period. I mean, $10,000, that was like a million, you know, it was like $100,000 or a million back then. It was so much money to even right. try to think about where can I get that all at one time. Because, you know, as you're paying your cards, I kept trying to keep them at lower interest rates and all, but, you know, you do have interest to pay and everything else. I mean, people that are in that much credit card debt, they're usually in it for a long time. And people think it has to take time. It doesn't have to take time. And people think they have to borrow the money or earn it or find it or win it. How about somebody just giving it to you? That's one that people don't usually think of. But that's what the universe lined up. So it's really about possibility thinking and understanding that this process works. We think, feel, image, and speak our finances and our reality in general into existence. And when we know how to do it and we know the process, then we can start having much better results than we've been getting, because we start focusing much more on the positive and much less on the things that we don't really want to bring about.
James, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in vision boards? And if so, we're going to talk about that when we come back up from this break, okay?
Okay, definitely. And I do, by the way.
Okay.
Listen up. I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
That's Barbara Mason, Yes, I'm Ready. And we're right back here on Delicious Talk Radio, bringing sexy back with our special guest this evening, James Goya. If anybody has a question or comment, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And incidentally, my book has been revised and is ready to go today. So go to my website and order Back to Zero. We're going to get right back into the conversation. We left off with me asking James, does he believe in vision boards? All right, James, you got the floor, darling.
Okay. You know, I think vision boards are a good thing. They're a powerful thing. The vision board, for those who don't know, is basically you take a large, you know, cardboard board or whatever it is, and you put on it the things that you would like to attract into your life. So people put pictures, you know, or symbols that you know, like a dollar sign would help to, you know, bring about the concept of money. They put affirmations, they put phrases and sayings that are, you know, dear to them or help them stay positive. And, you know, if you think about it, just the fact that a person would have an interest in using a vision board is a powerful thing, because it shows that they believe in mind power. They believe in their ability to track things. They believe in the usefulness of a vision board. So already, even just in the idea of accepting it to put it together, is a powerful thing. And I can relate it to myself. I hear stories on and off over the years of people who they order my book, and all of a sudden they get a job they've been trying to get when they've been out of work for a long time. One person, somebody gave them a car as a gift, and they were then able to go to work because they had transportation, or people get windfalls. Here's the amazing thing. Even before they get the book, even before they read it. Why? Because they became aware of the concept. They opened up their minds. They got more positive and expectant that they could attract more money in their job they wanted and everything. Otherwise, they wouldn't have purchased the book. And so it's kind of the same with the vision board. One great story I have is that on my own vision board many years ago, I wrote a phrase, and I had a picture of a person up there. And the person was Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. And the phrase next to it was, "Oprah loves my book." And I didn't, you know, I wasn't like I was on Oprah's show or anything like that. Just, "Oprah loves my book." Well, and I had a friend who was always encouraged me to send Oprah, you know, my book. And I didn't want to do that because I had read that Oprah doesn't really like to get books that way. She likes somebody on her staff, for instance, to tell her about this great book that, you know, I read, and it can save the world. And that's how she likes to find out. And then people give really strange advice, like taking out back at the time when she was in Chicago, taking out a full-page ad in the Chicago Times or Tribune, whatever it is. That's expensive. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so I refused to send Oprah any copies of my book. But I had faith in this. I saw her picture up on my top left of my board, you know, prime location, because we read left to right, right? We read top to bottom. So she was in the prime location on the board. "Oprah loves my book." Had a lot of respect for Oprah, still do. Wanted her to know about my book, and I figured she'd love it. Well, I was on MySpace, and I had way back when MySpace was still MySpace, and I had, you know, you had your top 20 or top 40 friends, and I had the top 40 always, and I had Oprah always in my number one spot. Oprah Winfrey was my number one top friend. And but one day I went to Oprah's page, and I remember way back then she had only like 52,000 friends, and which she ended up having a lot more than that. But she had 52,000. She only had a top 20, in other words, half of the allowable. And I went to her page one day, and I'd been there many times. You know, I'd see what people would say to her on there and stuff. I didn't really post anything, but I would just go look. I went there one day, and I saw, now this is 20 out of 52,000, and I saw my profile, I saw my picture as one of Oprah Winfrey's top 20 friends on MySpace.
Wow.
And so I called Kathy. I said, Kathy. We were in a big four-bedroom house at the time. She's way at the other side of the house. And she comes running. I said, "You won't believe this. It's a miracle. It's like my vision board. Something must have happened. Look, it's just, see, I don't know what to say." And I showed her. And she says, "Well," she said, "there's something I have to tell you about this." I said, "What?" Like, I couldn't imagine what she would have to say about this. She didn't even use the computer, so how could she even know about it? Well, she didn't know about it. But what she did know is that she had written Oprah. Like, she had gotten in touch with a friend of ours who did have a computer, who hunted up Oprah's address when she still had the show, you know, back when. And she wrote a 23 or 24 page handwritten, she didn't use a computer, typewriter, or anything, handwritten letter. And she packed up four books, one for Gail King, one for Oprah, one for Stedman Graham, who I quote, he's one of the 160 quotes, I quote Stedman in my book, and one for whoever opened the box.
Right.
And it was shortly after she sent those books, because I had only been on there shortly before. Like I said, I would visit Oprah's page. Shortly after Kathy sent those books off, somebody, I doubt it was Oprah herself, but probably somebody was instructed to go in and out of 52,000 friends to pick James Goy Jr.'s MySpace page to put on top 20.
Wow.
And I was
wow.
there for over 7 months until they changed it to a top 8, and whoever did it just kept the top 8 and not, you know, number 9, 10, 11, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Oprah's top 20 friend space on MySpace for over 7 months, 20 out of 52,000, because I had a picture of Oprah on my vision board and a little saying next to it that said, "Oprah loves my book."
Wow.
I know another story about a vision board. It's people I knew that the fella, there's a couple, and the fella wanted to have a Corvette. And so one day they were driving, and he saw this Corvette. That's just like the Corvette I want. And so he hopped out and stood next to it, and his wife took the picture of him standing next to the Corvette, you know, like it was his. And they put it up on the refrigerator. This was way back when. I was in Amway for a while, and they were Amway people. And so Amway people are putting everything on their refrigerator, you know, pictures of what they want to create and stuff. At least they were back then. Well,
I guess it was
a period of years or whatever, but he ended up getting that Corvette. In other words, getting enough money and all of this. I don't know the exact stream of events that made them realize this later. What they came to find out was that the car he had purchased was not only exactly like, you know, exactly like the car in the picture, it was the exact car.
Wow.
It was the same exact car. And John Assaroff, who's a metaphysical teacher and writer, he tells, and he was in The Secret. He was one of the teachers featured in The Secret. He tells a story of being out here and his son going through this box and finding this picture of this beautiful mansion and saying, you know, "Daddy, you know, what is this?" or whatever. And I guess he tried to explain how you know, whatever the process is of cutting out pictures of things. But anyway, the way John tells it is that when he looked at the picture, he realized and he was floored by the fact that he was living in that house, that exact house that picture was of. He didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the picture he had. So, yes, vision boards, to shorten up the vision board story, are extremely powerful. I mean, there's no way they can't be. If mind power works and you're putting up visual representations and like your friend puts the cards around, well, you're putting the sayings that would be on those cards on a board in a central location. You're looking at it. You're putting your positive expectancy into it. It's one of the many tools. And certainly you can, it doesn't have to be a board or restricted to a board. People have these 3x5 cards with these, you know, things in their car and their visor on the mirror in the bathroom they see every morning. They have pictures on the refrigerator. But the board itself is a very powerful tool. But just the concept of keeping visual and written representations of what you're trying to attract in front of you, reminding you. Because every day the world, and I don't think anybody can argue with this, is conspiring against you to drag you down, to make you not believe, to make you believe in lack and hard times, and it's who you know and it's your education and all these things. We need to try to counteract all of that negative programming, which is really what it is, with as much positive programming as we can. And the vision board and pictures on the refrigerator and note cards on the bathroom mirror, they all can help us do that.
Okay. Yeah, because I had, when I was working with this a particular company, I had made a vision board. And in the company that I was working for, they had, like, women who were in the million-dollar club, meaning that they were with products that I was selling. They were selling, and they sold millions and millions of dollars of it. And I had put on the vision board that I wanted to be in a millionaire's club, but unfortunately, I had left that particular company, but I had put that up. And I was doing really well, you know, at one point, but some other things had happened that caused me to leave that company. But, you know, as you have spoken, the vision board is pretty powerful, I would say, you know, And then there's, you have to have faith and you have to believe. I do
right.
know that.
Right. And anybody who uses, yeah, and anybody who uses a vision board does have some level of faith and belief, or they wouldn't be using it. I remember one story, speaking of my Amway days way back when I was very young, that this fellow locked himself in this Amway rep, locked himself in a room, basically, and didn't talk to anyone, had his meals brought to him, and he was focusing his mind, whatever mind power stuff he was doing, that he wanted to be a direct in Amway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I remember correctly, this is decades ago, but to be a direct, you had to have like $75, $100 a month in sales or some ungodly figure like that. And it usually takes a really long time. You have to build up an organization, and they got to get people under them, and everybody's got to be buying all their soap and everything through the company. Well, what happened was back around the same time, Amway got into the payphone business,
mm-hmm.
you know, where people could actually purchase payphones or something like that. I forget, you know, back when payphones were a big thing. Anyway, somebody under this guy sold a bunch of payphone things or something, and he went direct in like a month. He was locked in a room doing all this mind power stuff, and he went direct, something that takes years usually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't stay a direct because mm-hmm. once those big sales were over, that was it. He dropped right down to whatever level he was at. But he went direct
mm-hmm.
in a very short time because he locked himself in a room and he focused his mind. That's, you know, what vision boards help with. That's what all the techniques that I teach, affirmation, visualization, and that others teach, just positive speaking. You know, if people come away with nothing today other than to remember to stop speaking the things that they don't want to happen into existence, which we do all the time. And I have a couple of
great
quotes I can share. One is, and these are from my book, in my book, and one is from Julia Seaton from The Science of Success 1914. And she said, if we listen to the words of the failure multitude, we will soon learn that by their words they are justified and condemned. In other words, their words, they're speaking their own, you know, hell or heaven into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Georgiana Tree West in Prosperity's Ten Commandments, first published in 1944, wrote, the laws of mind go into operation through our words. And here's a great one. Walter DeVoe from Mystic Words of Mighty Power, first published in 1905, and he wrote, thoughts are living things, and spoken words give to thoughts a body of physical vibrations which makes them still stronger. So if people just realize that how they speak about how things will be and about how they are and what their abilities are, what their future is, how people are, when they realize they are speaking reality into existence to a large degree, and then they start speaking in a different way, they will start to see that not only their own performance and results change, but other people and events and circumstances will start to fall in line with this. And there's a great story. I haven't read the book for many, many years, but I think it's from Florence Scovel Shinn's The Game of Life and How to Play It, and that was first published in 1925, if I remember correctly. But it's one of those books, but I think it might be that one. It's a story about a woman who had the husband from hell, okay? He was just anything in the world that you can complain about a husband, that was him. And she used to always complain to all her friends and family about how he does this and he does that and he doesn't pay attention to me, whatever it was. Well, when she got a hold of these principles, she got this idea. And what she started doing was telling everybody, when they say, well, how's, you know, what's his name, you know, how's things going? And she started basically lying and saying, oh, you know, he's getting better and he's, you know, things are turning around. And she started relaying to people what she wanted to be true as if it was true. And the amazing thing is that her husband started changing, and he knew nothing of this.
Wow.
He started to change. He started to act in line with what she was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Our words are very powerful, and they don't – exactly. Our words don't just affect us, they affect other people. What do you think the effect is on a child of maybe 9 years old, a little boy who's always getting in trouble? Somebody tells him, at that young, tender age, you know, you're probably going to be in jail by the time you're, you know, 18. You keep going like this. Or think about what picture we put in our children's minds when they're going out the door and we yell behind them, don't get hit by a car. We've just put the thought and the vision and the picture in their head of getting hit by a car. How about be safe? You know, people speak their physical ailments, their financial circumstances, and even their good health, their bad health, their good finances. They're speaking it into existence to a very large degree. If people come away from this interview and remember this one thing, just start speaking as you want things to be, as if they are that way or will be that way. And that the technique, as I explain it for attracting money specifically, is that you always want to speak as if those things you want to be true about your finances either are true now or will be true. You don't want to entertain the other concepts. They are not possibilities. They are not on the menu. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you sit down and you open up the menu, there's certain items available. And, you know, maybe they can mix and match a little bit. But if there's no lamb on the menu, there's no lamb in the freezer. And so things like I might end up homeless, or, you know, I'm going to have to sell my car and ride the bus. Those things have never been on my menu, you see. It's not the kind of things that I would willingly entertain, thoughts and things of that. So I tell people to rewrite your menu, because right now when you open your menu, you've got a lot of things in there, let's call them possibilities, possible eventualities that you really don't want. And you're the one who is designing and writing and printing up the menu. So how about if you just fill it with good stuff? And then you're choosing between good and better instead of good and bad.
Wow.
It's all in how you look at it, and it's in what you allow to occupy your mind.
That is true. Well, James, how can people get in touch with you and get your book?
Well, my website is jamesgoijr.com. That's jamesgoijr.com. If people don't have a pencil, they can just real easy remember attractmoney.org. It gets you to the same place. And my book is available everywhere, such as, you know, Amazon is a great place to get it. It's in print, and it's also in Kindle as an e-book. Mm-hmm. And I do have a free monthly Mind Power and Money e-zine that people can subscribe to at jamesgoijr.com or attractmoney.org. And also, something I've started doing and been doing for a while now is that I routinely give away for free PDF copies of my book to anyone in the world who wants one. So if anybody wants to hit me up on Facebook, on Twitter, because, you know, like on Facebook, I can just attach it right to the message. I don't even have to send an email. If people send me an email at james@jamesgoijr.com, I don't add them to my mailing list or anything like that. I just send them the PDF copy of the full version, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power. So it's available in print if people want it. It's available in Kindle if you want it on your Kindle. And I'll also send you a free PDF copy if you want it. No questions asked, no opt-in required.
All right, everybody. Did you hear that? You can get this book free PDF file if you you can email James Goy, or you can go on his website. He's on Facebook as well. And his website is James Goy, G-O-I, Jr. That's J-R, or is it spelled out?
It's J-R. So it's
okay.
J-A-M-E-S-G-O-I-J-R, right.
Okay. All righty, then. It was a pleasure having you on here this evening. And we're definitely going to have you come back again, because it's just so much more that we could talk about. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you a great round of applause for coming in this evening.
Thank you.
Okay, Jadino and Rhea, did you guys have any closing remarks for James?
Oh, yeah. I think everything he was talking about is right, and I feel like in my mind, things already start putting in place. I don't have, like, the message or what you call it, the signboard or whatever. I just made one sticky. Last 2013, I made a sticky that said I'm an artist, and everything I want, I will achieve through that. And I got that on my board right at my desk at my government job, and hopefully I'll be able to take it off that wall and put it in my studio soon.
Wow.
So,
wonderful. That's powerful. I really feel that.
Yeah, because I was like, I used to, I'm glad I actually heard everything you said, because I used to say stuff like, you when you say breathing it in existence, I used to say stuff like, oh, I'm a has-been. If I was going to be somebody, I'd get it by now. So that's negative. That's, you know, I'm joking, but now I know not to even say that no more, you know, even in a joke.
Right.
So a lot of things I used to do like that, and hearing you say the mental state of everything you do, that's what I do now. Last year I put up in December J. Dino Blasco versus 100 pounds. I already lost 20, but I was telling the guy, when you're a certain size, people can't tell when you lose 20 pounds. But after you lose 100 pounds, then they were, hey, man, you losing weight? And so I done made it. I done made it to the 100-pound mark. I didn't even know it until, like, last month. And I just changed a lot of stuff I'm doing. You know, I'm a big guy, so it ain't going to be like I'm a stick when you see me. But people would start walking up there saying, you lost some weight. And I was like, yeah, but then you got negative people. I'm like, what's wrong with you? So I had to laugh at them. Something must be wrong with you. How you lose this much weight? But, yeah, I'm definitely going to come on your page and get a copy of that book.
Definitely. I'd be happy to send you one. And you bring up a great thought here, and that is that the subconscious mind does not have a sense of humor. So we need to be careful with it, because we think we're joking, but guess what? The subconscious mind doesn't understand humor. It only understands the images and the thoughts that we cause it to, cause to inhabit it. And so it's a very good teaching and understanding to let people know to not kid around, to always speak in the positive.
I mean,
I'm one of them that also say I'm a firm believer, and you don't put things out in the universe that are not such. And I remember my mom used to always say, God will give you what you ask for. If you try to live right and things like that, and then it progressed into that, you don't put things out in the universe. You speak it, and when you speak negative, that power of belief has a whole, it's a complete discipline, but it has a whole, it has something behind it.
Right. Because negative things, it
definitely does.
Right. When you speak negative things happen.
Exactly.
More or less, you know, be positive and positive things, you know, will happen. You know, and sometimes people have a hard time, you know, like Jadino had mentioned, you know, joking about things. And, you know, even that, if you're joking about something negative, it could, you know, bring about negativity. So, and as James had mentioned, you know, your subconscious doesn't understand humor, so you have to be very careful, you know, the things that you say out of your mouth, even when you joke, you know. So if you could just train yourself up to, you know, just speaking positive things and doing positive things, you know, because my motto is to stay away from negative people, places, and things, you know, and, you know, work at it from that perspective, because if you're around somebody that's negative all the time, always crying broke or crying this, crying that, and someone had told me, if you hang around 9 broke people, guess who's going to be the 10th one? You. So,
that's right. That's true.
Yeah. So,
I believe it.
Yeah, so you just have to, you know, pick yourself up and, you know, just be positive and leave all the negative in the negative area, you know, forget about it, you know. But, you know, like I had mentioned, James, it was more than a pleasure having you on here, and you're going to have to come back, you know, because there is just so much that we can talk about. And, you know, and I'm quite sure the listener audience out there has learned something, you know, going to walk away with something tonight from tonight's show, because I definitely have, as well as I guess my two co-hosts have too. And, you know, this is your second home. So whenever you want to come back, just hit me up, and you're more than welcome to come back. And I do appreciate you for giving out the wealth of knowledge that you did tonight. And any more books out, you know, let me know that. And like listening audience, you're out there listening, make sure you go to his website or his book on his page on Facebook and get that book, because, you know, it can wake up some dead cells laying dormant in your brain, you know, and get you to thinking and get some money, or, you know, your health getting good and, you know, different things like that, because it's not always about money. It's about health, or maybe something you may need that you can help, you know, that'll help you get there. So with that being said, Rhea, you want to let everybody know what you do?
Well, I am a book reviewer, and I can best be reached through Facebook. That's Rhea Alexis M. Banks. But that same name is on Amazon. My email is realalexis@yahoo.com. And I'm on Amazon, Goodreads, Safari. But outside, I'm an avid reader, but I am also a reviewer as well. And that's my primary thing that I do.
Okay. Jadino?
Yeah, you can reach me on Facebook. I don't really do the website thing yet. I guess I'm going to have to get into it. But I'm just everything art, and everything art to this stream. And I dabble in inventions every once in a while, you know. But anything you want, like far as art or whatever, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's film, animation, special effects, clothing, fashion, whatever. That's what I do. So you can reach
right.
me on Facebook. There's only one Jadino Blasco on it so far.
Right, and he's very good. So, James, you want to give out your information once more before you go, darling?
Certainly. Thank you, and thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this tonight. And again, it's jamesgoijr.com or attractmoney.org. And on Facebook and Twitter and places like that, you can just look me up by James, G-O-I-J-R, James Goy Jr.
Oh, right. And I guess everybody know who I am. I'm Gail Delicious Johnson, yeah. Author, poet, ghostwriter, speaker. And Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, as we all know, and our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a show, if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or to either of my co-hosts, that's Rhea at RheaAlexis@yahoo.com, RheaAlexis@yahoo.com, or Jadino Blasco, that's J.DinoBlasco, BLASCKO@gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half, and sometimes the topic is juicy, for the full 2 hours of adult conversation. And remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Rhea, Jadino, and James Goy for being here tonight. And the holiday is coming up, so everybody enjoy yourself. Go out and have a good time. If you're driving, don't drink. If you're drinking, don't drive. I like talking to you guys, not about you. So with that being said, everybody have a good night and a wonderful weekend and a nice holiday. And see you guys right here next Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. on Bringing Sexy Back. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Jadino and Rhea and James. Good night. Love
you
guys.
Good night.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.